Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nice enough to call us up and let us interview him on the phone. Jeff, how are you?
Appreciate it. Appreciate you, Jay.
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Doing good.
First of all, welcome back.
Andy and Randy.
That's us.
You got it. Easy to remember.
Without a doubt.
Welcome back, man. Welcome back to Atlanta.
Thank you. Good to be back.
I heard some of the press conference and some of the clips, and you're talking about, you know, and this is true of job experience and life experience. People change and grow and all that. But you talked about how you're different now than maybe you were last time here. How so, would you say?
In every way humanly possible, if that's possible.
Okay.
It starts with my ability to really build the defensive roster and the process in which you do that. Like when I left this building, I thought I knew, and I wasn't close, you know. So learned a lot regarding that. Learned a lot regarding scheme, regarding just more answers for the players. In all honesty, I felt like I got a PhD in education in defensive football from Robert Saleh. He was he's one of the brightest defensive minds I've ever been around, and just to soak him up for 4 years was amazing for my growth, you know, and a lot of the things that I truly believe in, you know, regarding culture and regarding style of play, those just got reinforced, and I feel probably even stronger than I ever regarding some of those things. But the roster building and the scheme. A new human being.
What about this scheme, Jeff? Because you're, in simple fact, I mean, people always talk about, well, he's a base 3-4, 4-3 principles, all that other crap. But who cares about all that? But when you look at where you're coming from, up there with Coach Saleh, back here to Atlanta with Ra, are the schemes, like the base points of the scheme, are they kind of similar, or are some changes going to have to be made?
We're going to spend this first 2 weeks on a deep dive self-scout. So I'm going to learn and watch every single snap that they played last year. And it's also given me an opportunity to really learn this roster on a deeper level, learn this defensive coaching staff on a deeper level, you know, and then we're going to get in the lab, you know, and then we're going to sit down and, you know, what do we want to eliminate? What do we want to refine and improve? And then what do we want to add from New York, you know? And in doing this, you know, we're going to create a package that's going to have a lot of answers, you know, and then ultimately it's going to be able to put the players in the best position to be successful. And we're going to have answers, but at the same time, not dilute to the point where our technique and our style of play gets, we just in any way we lose that. Because in my opinion, great defensive teams, they have a style of play, mm-hmm. and that is never compromised, no matter what the scheme is.
Right.
And you never let the scheme get in the way of the style of play. Guys got to play fast. They got to be absolutely certain of what they're doing, and they got to play physical. And sometimes you can paralyze them with too much stuff.
Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich joining us, introductory press conference earlier on today. And hopefully we get a chance to talk in training camp or later on in the offseason, because I would love to ask you, after that deep dive self-scout, some of the stuff that showed and then some of the stuff that you learned. But as of now, what do you feel like you know before you do that? Like, what do you feel like you know today about this defense?
I know some of the key pieces of it for sure. You know, fortunately, I've had exposure to and experience with AJ and, mm-hmm. and Grady. So two obviously the best players on this team, best players at their position in this league for that matter. So that helps. That's a great starting point. Beyond that though, I'm just keeping as open as mine as I possibly can. You know, I'm really going to be weary of hearing anybody's opinion about coaches or players until I make my own assessment. So, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to this process of getting to know everybody.
Well, Jeff, you played in this league, you've coached in this league, you're part of it, everything like that, and obviously you play one of the more demanding positions as the linebacker. But just, I mean, we can talk scheme and all that, but you need dudes, right? You got to have, so we call them war daddies. I'm sure you heard that term. How do you try use what you have in your scheme and try to input to go get some of these war daddies? Because I heard earlier, your number one priority, you got to affect the quarterback.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no great defense that's ever existed in this world without the ability to rush the quarterback and affect the quarterback. You know, so that's priority, absolute priority number one. And that's going to be a combination of scheme. You know, you affect the quarterback in a lot of different ways. A lot of times, you know, just through confusing him and giving him some looks he's not familiar with and playing really sound coverage, that can affect the quarterback. But at the same time, we need to get him off the spot. We need to hit him, and we ultimately need to sack him too. So it's a combination of all those things. But you're absolutely right. It starts with the men. It's like great defenses have great players. You know, I don't want to get it twisted and think that I'm some magical coach that can, you know, that can make something out of nothing. And fortunately, we're not in the place of having nothing. There is a lot of really good players here, and now we just need to develop, and we need to feature them best we can.
How do you feel like your relationship with Raheem helps you, helps him, helps this defense going forward?
Yeah, it's the equity within our relationship is going to be, we're going to have to lean on that hard, because this next couple months as we create this defense, there's going to be a lot of hard conversations. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of our relationship. We can, if, you know, you're an outsider watching us operate on a daily basis, you might think that we hate each other, you know, because there is complete honesty and transparency in everything that we do, football and life and everything, you know. So with that type of relationship, we're going to be able to eliminate each other's blind spots, you know, because there is such an element of truth to everything that we say and do with each other. And that's necessary to create this thing the right way. You can't be sensitive, and you can't be worried about people's feelings. We've got to get it right, you know, and we got to get it right now. So it's this is not a thing that's going to happen 2 years from now, 3 years from now. It's got to happen this season. So we got to do everything humanly possible to make that work. And I think this relationship is going to be a big part of the reason that it does work. Now, saying that, it's interesting, you know. I've obviously, Ra's one of my better friends on this earth, but I haven't been around him a ton since the yeah. LA experience, right. You know, and he hasn't been around me since I've been in New York mm-hmm. a whole lot. So the amount of growth that I've seen in him as a leader, schematically, everything, in every way, he's a different human being, and I'd like to say the same about myself. And it's going to be fun for us to get reacquainted in that way too, and learn what I did in New York and learn what he did in L.A. and then ultimately create something super special here.
What do you think those butting heads will be about? Will it be personnel, or will it be scheme, or something other, something that I might be leaving off the table?
All of it. Mm-hmm. It's the grade of coffee bean in the coffee machine. It's,
right.
it's the parking spot. It's everything, you know. And I think the best friends on this earth are truth-tellers to each other, and that's how we've always been. I think that's why I respect him so much, and I think that's why he respects me so much, because we have that type of relationship, and it's going to be huge for us.
One of the things I heard you mention earlier in the press conference just was interesting to me, was how different the league is from various points where you've coached. Obviously, you were part of the Seahawks staff back in 2010, 2011, and then with Dan Quinn and all those guys here before, and then now back in 2025. In that 15 years, how do you feel like the league has changed the most?
Yeah, and it really started with the Kyle Shanahan's and the Sean McVay's of this world. You know, they... the old traditional type of teacher, coach, from an offense perspective, they had a playbook, you know, and they had a system. And, you know, it's been done that way for 20, 30, 40 years since this league was created. Where Kyle and Sean went to another place, they threw the playbook in the trash. And what they did was they went into the lab and learned defensive rules. And by learning defensive rules, like they came up with this mantra of, I want to beat you in a way you've never been beaten before. You know, so because of that, and because they are so well aware of our rules and how to beat us, and it's become so sophisticated from an offensive perspective in that way, that defensively we have to keep up. We have to keep them on their toes as well. Like the old day of saying we're going to play cover three 90% of the game, mm-hmm. it doesn't exist anymore. And if you do, you're just putting your players' chins out there so they can get haymakered all day. So it's they've become more multiple. We need to become more multiple. Where the secret sauce lies is that ability to create multiplicity without diluting technique and base fundamentals. you know, in a real style of play. So it's us trying to find that perfect balance of what's enough scheme where we can still play in a way, in a style that's going to make these players proud of themselves and each other and the organization proud and the ownership proud and the fan base proud of the way this defense plays.
Jeff, what did you learn from your experience in New York this past year? Because obviously being an interim head coach means somebody had to lose their job, a guy you're really fond of, and Robert Saleh. And obviously, you know, I know for a fact you want to be a head coach ultimately. What did you learn from that experience that you went through last year?
God, the biggest thing I learned was the power of delegation, which I failed at like horribly. Mm-hmm. You know, I was given the position really early in the season. You know, so there's a lot of games to be played still. And my thought at the time was that I was going to create as much continuity as I could on the coaching staff and not have people change their roles. You know, and I've said this before, and I truly believe this. You know, you fired a guy in Robert Saleh that say he worked 10-hour days, and I worked a 10-hour day as a defense coordinator. Well, when he got fired, that 10 hours didn't go anywhere. You know, and the fact that I didn't delegate and I didn't give the defensive coordinator to somebody else, it just meant I put 10 hours on my 10 hours, you know, and ultimately when you do that, you do nothing as well as you could have, you know, and, you know, so I didn't do a good enough job probably as a head coach or a defensive coordinator at that point because everything got so diluted you know, so that's probably the biggest thing I learned, you know, that delegation is critical to, and especially when you have so many great people and minds around you, you gotta utilize everybody's superpower that you got. And I also learned the power of truth telling. You know, I think a lot of times as assistant coaches, we don't share with the head coach everything. You know, I think sometimes, I know myself, I would take it upon myself to eliminate problems and take things off the head coach and make sure that he never found out about certain things. But I feel like that's counterproductive sometimes. You know, there's things that the head coach definitely needs to know and needs to be informed about, whether it's his staff or players or whatever it is. And so those two things, delegation and truth telling, I'll be so much better because of my experience in New York because of that.
Well, Coach, like we said, welcome back. Thanks so much for the time today.
Good luck, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys.